Tonight was the first AEW show of the new year. The ratings for both of these shows tonight, unfortunately, AEW, NXT, I'm sure they're going to be in the mud, which is a shame because I thought that AEW put on a hell of a show tonight. This was week one of AEW New Year's Smash, delayed by a week because of the Brody Lee tribute, but we have 2 weeks. This was week one. I am the Solemn Monster. This is your AEW review for January 6, 2021. Our first gathering here on a Wednesday for the new year. Hopefully, the first of many that you will be joining me for. You know, this was a good week for wrestling. And we forget Legends Night on Monday night. This week was Wrestle Kingdom. By the way, if you missed my Wrestle Kingdom reviews, they are up. The audio is up on the feed. Wrestle Kingdom Night 1, Wrestle Kingdom Night 2. So if you are into New Japan, go check that out. But I just sat through two nights back-to-back of Wrestle Kingdom, which is always fun. Wrestle Kingdom is always a good time if you're a wrestling fan, right? You get some of the best matches that you'll see all year. So both Wrestle Kingdom main events, fantastic. Okada and Ospreay, great match on night one. Shingo and Jeff Cobb on night two, loved it. It was a war. And we're only 6 days into the year. And now we have another potential contender. I don't think this will end up being match of the year contender, but a damn good match tonight in the main event between Kenny Omega and Rey Fénix for the AEW World Championship. This is the match that we were supposed to get back in November. And the reason it didn't happen is because Rey Fénix had, I think he dinged his head, he might have had a concussion, whatever the injury was. We were supposed to get it in the semifinals of the World Title Eliminator before Full Gear. Didn't happen. We got Penta, Kenny Omega, which was a hell of a replacement, okay? Those two had a great match, but this was the match that I was looking forward to. We never got it, but we got it tonight. And these two went out there in the main event, and they did not disappoint. So as I look back at Wrestle Kingdom and I compare some of the best matches on those shows to what we saw tonight, I wouldn't put this ahead of the main events. But it's in that conversation for the best match I've seen all year so far, right up there with Okada and Ospreay and Shingo and Cobb. I would put Fénix and Omega right up there with them. This was a war in the main event tonight. Rey Fénix, man. How this guy doesn't kill himself in these matches, I'll never know. But on the whole, I did enjoy this episode a lot. By the way, for those of you who do, and I know we've had some come in already, Super Chats are open. There is a brand new Super Chat. We have a brand new, shall we say, Mantar-related Super Chat. People wanted me to pull it from the New Year's stream. I can't even watch it without cracking a smile. So for those of you who are interested, you'll see the donation amounts in the description down below. Brand new Mantar Super Chat. It is up. So in case you didn't know, if you were living under a rock, there's a little show coming to TBS tomorrow called The Go Big Show. That's what tonight was all about. They had the banner, the ring skirt, promoting the new show. Cody Rhodes is on the show, as is Snoop Dogg. We had Snoop Dogg making his big AEW debut tonight. A few weeks ago, it was Shaq, who got splashed in the face with water and called an overgrown asshole by Brandi Rhodes, who then promptly got pregnant and decided to take 9 months away from TV. It happens. What are you going to do? Snoop Dogg had a much better time on Dynamite than Shaq did. Snoop Dogg was out there looking like he was just a big fan. He was having a blast. So we'll talk about Snoop's role on this show. I got an email, actually, from somebody, a listener of the show, who was on the Go Big Show. And I don't have all the details yet. He's going to email me. I haven't checked my email yet, but all I know is the thing about him, we call him the Alligator Man. So I don't know what episode he's going to be on, but he was very excited to tell me all about the Go Big Show and what it was like to film. So I might have to actually watch this show just so I can see if I see Michael on the show. Michael the Alligator Man. Chris Jericho was back on commentary. You like how I just skipped over? I kind of buried the lead there. You didn't think I wasn't going to mention what happened at the end of the show tonight, did you? Oh, by the way, we had Impact Wrestling talent invading AEW at the end of Dynamite tonight, which was something that you should... There's the Warrior. Something that you should have expected, though. Obviously, Kenny Omega's been making regular appearances on Impact now for a few weeks. Kenny Omega is wrestling next Saturday, not this weekend coming up, January 16th, AEW World Champion Kenny Omega is wrestling in the main event of Impact's Hard to Kill pay-per-view. And I feel like nobody is talking about it. Now, forget everything that happened today. I mean, nobody's really talking about wrestling today anyway, after everything that's gone on. But I feel like it's just kind of flying under the radar when it should be a bigger deal. I get Impact is not exactly as big as they used to be, but the fact that we have the AEW champion wrestling on an Impact pay-per-view should be a bigger deal. I don't even know if they mentioned that tonight. But when the main event was over, we got an appearance by the Good Brothers, Carl Anderson and Luke Gallows, and there's a lot of history there. If you've heard them and the podcasts that they've done since leaving WWE, the relationship with the Young Bucks, the friendship they had, the big decision about whether to go to AEW or re-sign with WWE, which is what they chose to do. Now, obviously, they made a big mistake by doing that. Well, maybe not. I mean, they probably deposited a lot of money in their bank accounts. But there was some friction there for a while. They were supposed to debut at the end of the very first Dynamite over a year ago. Remember the big plans for the original episode of Dynamite? They were going to do it from Madison Square Garden. They were going to have Anderson and Gallows debut at the end and just kind of beat everybody up. So this is a big deal for them tonight to show up on Dynamite for the very first time. And they came out to assist Kenny Omega at the end. Big angle they shot. Young Bucks come out. Are they with them? Are they not with them? Now we might start to see some Impact talent showing up a little more often on Dynamite. So we'll get into all that. I did kind of bury the lead there a little bit. Show tonight opened with the Young Bucks taking on SC, or the Young Bucks teaming with SCU taking on the Acclaimed and TH2. So for those of you, see, Girth Brooks wants to know who won the women's title match. Brother, I'm going to get there, man. I'm not going to give it all away now. You got to wait. Or you could just go find a website and figure it out. We're going to get to all that. Calm down. Kick back. Grab some pretzels. Grab a drink. Water, soda, liquor, beer. If it were Monday night, I would say bleach. Calm down. We're going to get to the women's title match, which I didn't like, by the way. We're going to get to all that. But there was an angle that they filmed a few weeks ago on AEW Dark. And I talked about it on the podcast because I actually thought it was very well done. And probably not a lot of people saw it with Frankie Kazarian and Christopher Daniels. They've been together for a very long time, right? Going back to their days in Impact. SCU, they've been a thing now for years. And the story they're telling is that in every match that SCU loses, it's Chris Daniels taking the fall. And Chris Daniels is getting up there in age. I mean, Christopher Daniels is probably, what is he, 45, 46? I mean, he's nearing the end. He's nearing the end of his career. And he was ready to hang it up. And they were on the segment with Britt Baker. She has her waiting room segment on AEW Dark, and they appeared on Dark a few weeks ago. What's going on, Jared? Thank you, man, for the $50 drop here on the stream tonight. Always good to hear from Jared. I hope you're doing well here so far. Happy New Year. And Kazarian wouldn't let him. Daniels was going to walk away and call it quits. And Kazarian said, no, no, no. You're not doing it that way. But I will make one ultimatum. You and I are going to go and we're going to do this and we're going to win the tag team titles. But the first match that you and I lose, we're done as a team. And I like that because it makes every SCU match all of a sudden feel important, right? In some way. So they've now made those matches feel special going forward, whereas before SCU matches, I mean, let's be honest, I mean, there was really nothing overly exciting or interesting because we've seen them wrestle everybody in the company already. I don't know what would have happened if the Babyfaces would have lost in this match, if that would have counted and that would have been the end of SCU. I assume not. I assume it's only SCU tag team matches. This is a fun opener, though. We had Kazarian and Nick Jackson picking up here midway into the match. Hit the BTE trigger. Jack Evans broke up the pin. TH2 with a backbreaker combo. Nick Jackson got the knees up on a Jack Evans doing what he does best, right? Goes for the 630, and he crashes and burns, gets the knees up. Super kick party on all four heels, sets up for the Meltzer driver. Nick Jackson, though, instead of completing the move, he decides to go ahead and do a moonsault out onto the other heels on the floor. That leaves the glory for Christopher Daniels. Christopher Daniels hits the ropes, best moonsault ever, into the Meltzer driver. I guess that would be the best Meltzer driver ever. I don't know. Best Meltzer driver, BMD. Babyfaces get the win. Kazarian grabs the mic after the match. He talks about the ultimatum I just mentioned. And Daniels takes the mic. They look over at the Young Bucks. And he says, look, we want to challenge you for the tag team titles, but it's not just about beating you for the belts. We want to beat the best team in the world. So I don't know when that match is going to happen. I mean, it feels... now that I think about this, given the storyline, it feels a little quick to be jumping right into that match. So it's not happening next week. So maybe they're just not going to do it for a while. I mean, you got to give them some wins first, right? You got to build up the drama. Are they going to win? Are they going to lose? Maybe they're building to a tag team title match at Revolution next month. I mean, that's the end of February, right? You give them a whole bunch of wins on TV between now and then. SCU loses. And Kazarian can have a singles run for himself, because I do think that's his future. I mean, I could see Kazarian challenging for the TNT title at some point. It just feels like Daniels is nearing the end of his rope. Not that he can't go, but I think it's just about time. In the next few months, I think it's time to move on. But this is a fun opener. We had the return of Jon Moxley for the first time since he lost the AEW championship to Kenny Omega on the Winter is Coming episode of Dynamite at the beginning of last month. I just realized I forgot to say hello to everybody in the chat. How rude of me. I'm very happy you guys are joining me tonight. For those of you who may be new here, we go live every Wednesday talking AEW Dynamite. And hopefully you will make this part of your 2021 ritual. We got some crazies in the chat, but they're harmless. They're good people. They're good people. Moxley came to the ring. He had a microphone in his hand. He says, you know, fans may expect me to come out here and curse and rant and rave, but bitching and moaning is just a waste of time. Said that an appropriate response to Kenny Omega and the used car salesman with him would be to beat them both up with a crowbar, but the AEW title is on the line tonight. Moxley said that he gave his heart and soul to protect the integrity of the championship. And he talked about Rey Fénix getting a big opportunity tonight. First time in 13 years challenging for the world title. He didn't want to do anything to ruin that. He didn't want to do anything to spoil that. So they made it very clear that he was not going to interfere in the match. There was not going to be some cheap bullshit DQ finish or anything, which was nice. You knew Moxley was coming out when the match was over. But at least they established why he wasn't immediately going after Kenny Omega. Said that Omega will never be safe. I will get even and then some. He promised Omega would look into the eyes of the devil and beg for mercy when he realizes that he crossed the wrong guy. This was a very good promo as per usual. Jon Moxley is a very good promo. And this was no different. Some good fire from him here. And again, establishing why he wasn't immediately going after Kenny Omega early on in the show. We had Dasha interviewing Chuck Taylor and Orange Cassidy. Orange Cassidy just kind of stood there interviewing Chuck Taylor in the back. They gave the official update that Trent is out 4 to 5 months with a torn pec. That is a legit injury. So he will be on the shelf for a while. Up comes Miro, Kip Sabian, and Penelope Ford. Miro says, boy, you know, the injury sucks for Trent, but it sucks for you too, because that means that you're on the shelf. And he said that, you know, you could be the leader of our group. You know, you can kind of come work for me and wash my car and do all these chores for me. And he said, look, Chuck Taylor wants a match with Miro, obviously. Miro says, well, okay, fine. Why don't we up the stakes a little bit? You want a match with me? How about this? If I beat you, you become my young boy, which is a term that they use in Japan. Because that's, you know, when you're a young boy, you do a lot of the grunt work for the other wrestlers. As you're in the dojo, you're coming up, you're in training, you're learning respect. And a lot of those guys, they cook, they clean, they do the laundry of the other wrestlers. That's what it is. And so he goes, if I beat you, you become my young boy. And Chuck, being the idiot that he is, says, sure, whatever. As long as I get a match with you, as long as I can get rid of you, then that's fine. Well, I mean, you know where this is going, right? We all know where this is ending up. Obviously, the outcome really is not in doubt. And look, it's going to give Chuck something to do. Maybe there'll be some funny vignettes out of it. You know, the Miro stuff, I haven't really found it funny. And in fact, I have to say, and it pains me to say this, because in a lot of ways, I do believe that he was very much underutilized in WWE. He got that big push for a while. He was undefeated for a year, and then he went to WrestleMania. He had the big match with John Cena. The guy rode out on a fucking tank. So at one time, yeah, he was never a top main event guy, but he was maybe one step below. That was his run. They really just built him up to lose to Cena. And then he caught fire with the Rusev Day stuff, and they didn't really capitalize the way that they should have on that. And yeah, there was a lot more they could have done with him. So when he finally left and got released, I thought, well, this is great. Here's a guy who could either go to AEW. I could honestly see Miro thriving in a place like New Japan. You don't think Miro would thrive in a place like New Japan against Jeff Cobb and Minoru Suzuki and Shingo Takagi and Tomohiro Ishii and some of those guys? I mean, I think he would do very well. He went to AEW. It's been a few months. I can sit here and tell you that I don't think I could possibly care any less about Miro than I do right now. Could not care about anything that he is doing. He walks out now, and I mean, I know what he can do. I know what he's capable of, but doesn't scream star to me anymore. It's going to have to just wrap this wedding shit up, which I guess they're going to do in a month. I'm hoping that'll be the end of it. No more of this best man stuff. Do the big wedding payoff. And then let's see where he ends up. But right now, I couldn't possibly care any less. Just not feeling it. Just too bad, because he was the one I was most hopeful for when they finally let him go. He was kind of like the biggest name of the bunch, really. And now, I mean, who's talking about Miro? Tell you who we are talking about. We're talking about Wardlow. There's somebody who's going to have a breakout year. You heard it here first. 2021, this is going to be the breakout year for Wardlow as a babyface. As a babyface. Wardlow one-on-one here with Jake Hager. I enjoyed this. We got a clean finish, too. We actually got a clean finish with the new guy being put over. Well, I mean, he's newer than Hager. Wardlow's been around for a little while, but he's the AEW guy. Hager's the WWE guy. Hager will always be the WWE guy. I will never look at Jake Hager and think that's the AEW guy or that's the Lucha Underground guy. No, he will always be Jack Swagger. But Wardlow is one of these sort of homegrown guys who I think can really explode. And this could be the year, and they put the new guy over. Wardlow won with the F10. There was one leapfrog spot, very, very minor. I mean, it wasn't even a botch, but... And look, it's impressive to see a guy like Wardlow doing a leapfrog on Jake Hager, who's probably a legit 6'4", 6'5". He kind of caught him a little bit on the leapfrog. It wasn't totally clean. That was really the only blemish I can think of when it comes to this match. Otherwise, it was a hoss fight. As they say, that's what this was, but 2021, man, breakout year for Wardlow, mark it down. Big win for him here on this show. Backstage, private party. Little private party vignette. They brought the gin, but damn it, they forgot the juice. And it just so happens that Snoop Dogg was on the show tonight. And so he showed up with the juice, put the juice down on the table. Matt Hardy showed up. He had contracts for Private Party to sign. I guess now he's going to be their agent. Matt is a man of many hats. He can play many different roles on this show. Now he's contract negotiator. He negotiated himself a 30% fee which these two guys were dumb enough to sign. He goes, oh, no, no, it's going to be worth your while. Believe me, it's going to pay off in spades. So he had them sign the contracts. And he did have a little dig at WWE. He goes, I made sure I put in the contract that all that third-party platform stuff you guys want to do, Cameo, Twitch, you can do it. It's all in there. He goes, I'm not a monster. So we had a weigh-in with Darby Allin and Brian Cage, who are going to be meeting on the Week 2 New Year's Smash Show next week for the TNT title. Speaking of the TNT title, I did come prepared. For those of you who missed the show tonight, or you just want to know what the new title looks like, last week on the Brody Lee Tribute Show, Tony Khan gifted the old TNT title to Negative One, Brody Lee Jr. Because you're the TNT champion for life. The old red belt, the red strap, that is no more. That is now a retired design. It belongs to Brody's son. So they had a new title created, which does not look radically different. Really, the biggest difference is instead of a red strap, now they have it on a black strap. So here it is. For those of you who missed it, this is what the new TNT title looks like. And I got to tell you, I like it. I like it. I like the black strap. I think it pops more. You got the red ribbon there in the middle. Not always really a big fan of the silver, necessarily. But I think it's a small upgrade, actually. I didn't hate the old TNT belt, but I think this looks a little more sleek. So anyway, I'm a black strap kind of guy anyway. Black or white. Black or white belts generally, I think, look pretty damn good. So anyway, that is the new look for the TNT Championship, for those of you who may have missed it, on tonight's show. There you go. I like the weigh-in concept, too. They sprinkle these in every now and then. They've had some good contract signings in AEW, but the contract signing concept is so played out in wrestling. You got to change it up every now and then. So the weigh-in concept, I like that. Breaks up the monotony a little bit. Cage weighed in officially at 272 pounds. Darby Allin weighed in at 170 pounds, which maybe with all the clothing on, as Taz pointed out, he had his shoes on, his pants, his shirt, his little leather belt. Maybe with all his shit on, maybe he's 170. Even then, I kind of doubt that. I don't think he's 170, but that's what he weighed in at. Allin said that this feud here, this has been 27 years in the making. Said that he's had to deal with shit from people like Taz his whole life. And he was ready for a fight, so he grabbed his skateboard and he was ready for combat when all of a sudden, the lights go out. Here comes Darby's dad. The snow begins to fall from Daly's place. Out comes Sting with the baseball bat. Full regalia. Makeup, the whole deal. Team Taz retreats. This is becoming very tiresome now. This is what's going every single week. Sting shows up, doesn't say anything. Team Taz runs away. It was more of the same this week. At least this time Taz was very upset. He yelled at Darby and said that next week. What did he say? So help me God. He was like guaranteeing that next week we're going to have a new champion. See, if it's a babyface, if a babyface makes a guarantee on TV, forgot who I heard this from. Some veteran is doing an interview. Says, if you're going to have a babyface make a bold guarantee, then you better make sure he delivers. Can't have a babyface on TV make a promise, guarantee victory, and then fall short. If it's a heel, I don't think it matters as much. Brian Cage is already the TNT champion. I just can't see him having two titles right now. Just walking around with two belts, why? I mean, what would the point be? Darby hasn't even had that many defenses yet. Has he had any defenses? I'm not even sure he's had any. Maybe one. So, way too early, I think, to be talking about a title change. But that match is official for next week. And look, all these Sting appearances are totally unnecessary. skip a week. It won't kill you to skip a week every now and then. I mean, if you're going to put him on the show like this every week, at some point very soon, he's got to do something. Okay? He's coming out. He's looking at Darby. He's pointing his bat. He walks to the base. This guy's got the easiest job in the world. This guy has the easiest job in the world. At least back in 97, when all the NWO stuff, he had to get harnessed. He had to, you know, he was dropping from the ceiling every week. I'd shit myself. You'd see me coming down from the ceiling. I'd have to wear black pants every week. Now he doesn't even have to do that. He just kind of walks out, looks around. Oh, it's snowing. Looks at Darby. Ah, yes, I know who you are. And then he walks to the back. Sting, if you're going to use him, should be made to feel special. The more you trot him out on TV where he does nothing and says nothing, the less special he's going to feel. So send him out there every other week. If he's not going to do anything, I'm not a fan of just putting him on the show for the sake of putting him on the show. I feel like they just want to be able to promote Sting appears, which is what they did this week. Sting makes an appearance just so they can put his name on, like on the marquee. And get people to tune in. But the more that you do that, if he doesn't do anything, people aren't going to care. So unless you got something special planned for this guy, skip a week or two. Then promote. Sting is back this week. What is Sting going to do? What is Sting going to say? All these little appearances, though, just completely unnecessary. Mr. E in the chat says Sting is like Brock Lesnar. Well, the difference is that Sting shows up. At least he shows up. Right? Brock wasn't going to show up unless it was spelled out in his contract. As long as he's getting paid, all right, I'll fly in, stand there, bounce around. Paul will do all the talking for me. He'll wink, right, in the camera, and then he'll leave and go back to the farm. Nobody at wrestling had a better deal than Brock Lesnar, which is why I'm sure he'll be back soon. Because why wouldn't he be? Why wouldn't he want to come back? Guy had the best deal, had the best gig in the world. It's only a matter of time before we have Brock Lesnar back. But it won't be in AEW, I don't believe. They aired a part of a negative one promo from Dark last night, which apparently Brody's son didn't even know that they were going to air that on TV, even on Dark. He didn't know that was going to air anywhere. So his mom put something on Instagram, you know, Amanda, saying that he was just over the moon, you know, once he realized that this was actually airing and people were going to be able to see it, and a lot of the compliments he got on it, apparently he was beaming. He came out, no shirt on, wearing a Dark Order mask, mic in his hand. This kid's 8 years old. Marco Stunt is in the ring. Negative one is 8 years old, not Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt looks like he's 8 years old, but I'm pretty sure he's 11. So negative one walks in the ring, and he just cut a little promo, right? This is a little promo on Marco. Talked about how Marco's always surrounding himself with people who are bigger than him, which, I mean, let's be honest here. I mean, that's not really hard to do. It would be a lot harder to find people who are not as big or the size of a Marco Stunt. Marco Stunt is surrounded by people. I mean, pretty much everybody in that company is bigger than Marco Stunt. Negative one is almost as big as Marco Stunt. So that's not really a high bar to set. But I think, look, this kid's 8 years old and didn't have any lines rehearsed or anything. He just went out there and cut a promo. I thought he did a pretty good job. Cuts a better promo than some other wrestlers that we see on TV. So then they cut to an Alex Marvez interview in the back with Jurassic Express and Marco Stunt, which was interrupted by FTR and Tully Blanchard, and they're mocking him, and Luchasaurus and Jungle Boy, they have to hold back Marco Stunt. Speaking of Jungle Boy, this I thought this was very cool. This was very cool. Tony Khan tweeted the other day that he bought the rights. Now, remember last week we were talking about the tribute show to Brody Lee? Tony Khan bought the rights to the Tom Waits song that they used in the tribute video at the very end, which was very cool because that means in the future, they won't have to worry about dubbing over it with some other music or whatever, it will always be part of that package. I guess when you're a billionaire, you can do shit like that. Well, apparently Tony Khan is, he's in a very giving mood. He has bought the rights to the song Tarzan Boy by the group Baltimora. Tarzan Boy came out, I think, in like 1985. It came out sometime in the mid-80s. I love that song. And I can't for the life of me remember what commercial it was. There was an old commercial that used that song. It might have been a gum commercial. Somebody help me out in the chat. I know, like, that's one of the first places I remember hearing the song many years ago. It might have been in, like, a Wrigley gum commercial, maybe, or something. I fucking love that song. That is a great song. It's the song that Jungle Boy came out to when he was on the Independents. Obviously, he wasn't allowed to use it on Dynamite, you know, on TV. Now he can, because Tony Khan bought the rights. So his new theme music going forward, at least when he's in singles matches, is going to be Tarzan Boy by Baltimora, which, as I said, is a fucking awesome song. And let me tell you something, when they get fans back in the building, this is why I can't wait to get fans back in the building. I was watching Wrestle Kingdom this week, and okay, people in the chat are saying Listerine. Oh, you know what? You're right. It was Listerine. Thank you. It was driving me nuts. I couldn't remember exactly where I knew it from. I said, for some reason, I thought it was like a gum commercial, extra chewing gum or something. You're right. It was. It was mouthwash. It was a Listerine commercial. Boy, you guys know your pop culture. You're as sad as me. But the point I wanted to make, yeah, I watched Wrestle Kingdom this week. And they had, between both nights, they had 20,000 people. I think it was 12,000 people in the Tokyo Dome on night one, 7,800 on night two. Obviously, that's way down. They had like 70,000 last year between the two nights. And it's all, you know, it's all the COVID effect. But I had just watched a Wrestle Kingdom match from last year. And as much as I enjoyed the show this year, they tell the people in the building, don't make noise. They only want you to clap, because if you make noise and you cheer and you shout, even though you're wearing masks in the building, they don't want you spreading particles. They're very strict about that. So these people make a lot of noise. They clap. There's a lot of clapping going on, but they don't make noise. And in like the final stretches of those really big matches, I feel like that's what separates the classic matches from the ones that are really, really good, but they're just not going to be remembered the same way. So it really drove the point home for me. I just can't fucking wait until they can get more people into these buildings. When AEW is eventually able to get full crowds back, if we ever get to that point, 5,000, 7,000, 8,000, 10,000 people, when this guy comes out to Tarzan Boy, I mean, he was popular already before. He's going to be a fucking megastar in this company. You think people like singing Judas when Chris Jericho comes out? Wait until they hit fucking Baltimora in a building with 10,000 people, and here comes Jurassic Express, who's already over, and people can sing along to Tarzan Boy. This guy's going to be, he's going to go to the fucking moon in this company. I'm telling you, that's going to be a fun moment. Those are the moments. Those are the moments I miss. GV in the chat. GV with the Jeb Bush quote in the chat. Please clap. Yeah. No one's begging for applause in AEW. I don't think so. Cody Rhodes went one-on-one with Matt Sydal. Snoop Dogg was out with Cody as his coach for the night. I never thought I would say this, but Snoop Dogg replaced Arn Anderson. It's probably already the weirdest thing I've said, and we're only 6 days into the year. But indeed, he was the sub. He was subbing for Arn Anderson here on this show. Snoop Dogg, imagine Snoop Dogg subbing for Arn Anderson as a horseman back in the day. I think Snoop would have actually fit in okay in the horseman, with the ladies around him, hitting the club. Right, he could show Flair all the hot spots. Tully Blanchard used to have Baby Doll. I think that could have worked. Not in the ring, though. Not based on what I saw from Snoop Dogg tonight. We'll get to that. But, you know, Snoop and Cody, they're judges on this Go Big show, so that's the connection, that's the tie-in there. I thought these two had a fun match. There was a spot outside where Cody went to go hit Sydal. and he moved out of the way. And Cody accidentally struck Serpentico, which Luther did not appreciate very much. That's Luther's partner. In the ring, Cody locked I bit my tongue. I bit my fucking tongue. All right. Ah. God, that sucks. Oh, that hurts like a bitch. Anyway, I'm all right. Cody locked him in the sharpshooter. That's what I was going to say. Excalibur called it a scorpion deathlock, I guess, in tribute to Sting, who now works for the company. It's a fucking sharpshooter. I know it was a scorpion deathlock first. I'm not saying that. But it will always be a sharpshooter. And Seidel got to the ropes. Seidel avoided a moonsault attempt, hit a rising knee strike, went for the shooting star press. Cody got his knees up, hit a reverse DDT for a near fall. See, Frost agrees with me. He says, Snoop is a horseman. Why does that sound so good? You know why? Because I came up with it. That's why. Because it makes sense. I only come up with ideas if they make sense. You're going to hear me making some sense on Sunday when I talk about that fucking Legends show from Monday night. I'll be making sense, because they sure as hell didn't. But you like the idea because it makes sense. Snoop in the Horseman. Very upset that we didn't get Snoop on commentary tonight. I mean, that just seemed like a gimme. How do you not do a segment with Snoop on commentary? How do you not bring him back later in the show to put him on commentary? After the job he did on that boxing pay-per-view. I mean, come on. Just seemed like a natural fit. Cody hit the disaster kick for a near fall. Seidel fought out of Din's fire, hit a Hurricane Rana cradle for a near fall. Roundhouse kick followed by the lightning spiral, got another near fall. And Cody avoided a knee strike, hit two crossroads for the pin. So Cody picks up the win. Luther and Serpentico immediately hit the ring. Not very happy about what Cody had done earlier. They attack him. Seidel makes the save. He throws Luther out. Goes to go to the top rope to hit, I guess, a shooting star maybe on Serpentico. Snoop tells him, no. I got this. So he calls down Matt Seidel, and Snoop Dogg begins the ascent up to the top rope. And as I watch this, I'm holding my breath because he's very unsteady on the ropes. He's not a wrestler. He has no training. And clearly, he was a little wobbly up there. Now, they're outdoors, too, in Florida, right? Jay, they're going on about how cold it is. It's 53 degrees. Oh, woe is me. 53 degrees in Florida, yeah. Come to New York, 53. Take your 53 degrees and stick it up your ass. I'm supposed to feel sorry for you, 53? Ooh, 53 degrees. But Snoop is climbing up, and I'm just holding my breath. I'm like, don't slip. You'll never live this down. You'll become a meme. Don't slip. He didn't slip. They held down Serpentico. And off the top rope comes Snoop Dogg with what I think was a splash. I hesitate to even call it one. It did not look very good. But he looked like a kid in a candy store. He looked like the happiest guy in the world. He was probably more happy he didn't kill himself on the way down. He's probably happy he didn't snap those chicken legs. I just kept thinking about that guy in that independent show and that video that went viral who was on the middle rope posing and then just jumped down and snapped both of his legs. I'm like, don't be that guy. But he hit a splash and he was so happy. Snoop Dogg was flying high on Dynamite. But anyway, he was having a blast, and he went over and shook the hands of all the announcers, Chris Jericho, and he was so happy to see Jim Ross, and he was giving a fist bump to Tony Schiavone, because who wouldn't want to do that? This was fun. I really wish they would have put him on commentary, but this was fun. Yeah, Bruce mentioned Dr. Dre. Is he doing okay? I think he's doing okay. I saw Dr. Dre had a brain aneurysm. That sucks. But then they said, I think he put a statement out saying he was okay, he was doing better. I hope so. That was very scary. I mean, you hear somebody has a brain aneurysm, and usually that's not good. That usually doesn't have a very good outcome. And Dr. Dre's not that old. I mean, how old is Dr. Dre? Probably late 40s, maybe mid to late 40s. He's not that old. I am going to read all of your super chats, by the way. I'm going to read all of your super chats, so I have not forgotten about. In fact, you know what? Let's take some now before we get into these two title matches, the two big matches on the show. Let's take a look at some of these super chats. So we go through some of them here. And again, thank you to everybody who has sent one in, or if you do send one in, I very much appreciate it. You guys are what keeps this whole channel flowing here with all of your support. Who is number one? Brian. Brian was number one tonight. Brian Anthony Rivers. I'm doing okay. Hope you are too. Thank you for the $2. And Ryan Spies. I hope we get some payoff to that Seidel versus Luther tease. Luther is one of the more entertaining parts of Dark, so it could be a fun 5-minute match. And then he says 5-star show because of Luther. I didn't realize Ryan was such a big Luther fan. All right. Hey, to each their own. Jackalope, what's going on? Thank you for the 5. Spanish Goddish, please don't tell me that it was the boring-ass Good Brothers who attacked Moxley. Was hoping it was either EC3 or Kenta. It would not be, why would it be Kenta? I mean, he just had a match. It would not be Kenta. I mean, let's be smart about this. I mean, he was just wrestling in Tokyo the other night. Travel in and out is not so easy right now. There was no chance it was going to be Kenta. Although that would have been cool. I just want to see EC3, he says, in AEW. I have yet to be impressed by the Good Brothers and Impact. They are so boring and corny. So, Spanish Goddish is obviously not a fan. Clearly not a fan of the Good Brothers. We'll get to more of your super chats here in just a second. That right there, the Undertaker face, that is his reaction when he saw the Good Brothers. He's quite disgusted. Hikaru Shida against Abaddon for the AEW Women's Championship. I like Abaddon. I like Abaddon. I like zombies. She is unique. Haven't seen a lot of her independent work to be able to judge how good she is in the ring, so I was looking forward to this match tonight. This was going to be a big opportunity for Abaddon. She attacks Shida on stage. When Shida came out, didn't even let her get into the ring. And Shida clubbed her in the head with her kendo stick. Abaddon then sat up like the Undertaker. Shida still had a wound on her neck from when Abaddon bit her. I was very disappointed they didn't really go all the way with that. Because if you're going to have a ridiculous gimmick like this, and you're going to have this woman go around and bite people on the neck like a vampire, if you do it Walking Dead style, I was kind of hoping Shida would come out tonight in the zombie makeup. Maybe not to the degree that Abaddon is all done up with the makeup, but like have her walk out there as if it's just turned her into something that we've never seen before. Like when Asuka was wearing the makeup, the Kana makeup in Japan, she would look pretty scary. I was hoping Shida would come out kind of looking like that, but they didn't do it. They didn't capitalize on that. If you're gonna do this shit, embrace the gimmick and just go all the way with it. Go all the way over the top with it. Zombie Shida. They ended up under the ring, and Abaddon crawls out first. She's got blood all over her mouth. And we see Shida crawl out with her neck all bloody, so she went right back after the wound and reopened it. We come back from break. Shida was kicking her ass. Gives Abaddon a superplex off the top, and Abaddon bridges up into the Bray Wyatt crab walk. I don't know if she walked, but she had that crab walk pose, which apparently in WWE always scared people. John Cena, didn't matter who he was in the ring with. If Bray Wyatt just went like, you know, he did the crab walk, apparently it was the scariest thing that these people have ever seen. It scared them so stiff that they just stood there and, like, they stared. They were frozen. They were paralyzed with fear. Never really understood that. Just kick the guy in the fucking face. He's upside down. Kick him in the Adam's apple. Not too bright. But then Shida hit a sliding knee strike, and she got the pin. That was it. Out of nowhere. This was not good. This was not good. This was a very as far as a women's championship match is concerned, this is the problem I've talked about with the NWA women's title. We're going to get an NWA women's title defense on next week's show by Serena Deeb, and I can almost guarantee you it's going to be better than this match. And so the more you focus on the NWA women's title, which is not on the show every week, but you're going to look back and say, wait a minute, we've had all these really good NWA women's title matches with Serena Deeb and Thunder Rosa and Ivelisse and all these different people. And then we don't really have much to talk about when it comes to the AEW women's title. It just makes their own title feel inferior. You've got to get something going here in this division. This match was not it. This match was a big letdown. So now the question becomes, who's next for Hikaru Shida? Now, when I look at the women's rankings, which apparently don't mean, they're not the end-all be-all. I think Abaddon was number 3, but Big Swole is listed at number 1. To me, that's not the match. The match is Britt Baker. Britt Baker should be the one to take the title away from Hikaru Shida. So I would like to see her, I don't know when, I don't know, maybe the next pay-per-view. I think Baker is the one. She is the heel to take that title off of the babyface. Because I really don't see there being a better option right now. And I like Britt Baker, and I think, you know, she's excelled tremendously in this heel role. I find her very entertaining. Who better? At this point, at this moment right now, in terms of baby faces, well, not baby face, in terms of heels, who would make more sense? Tay Conti eventually could be that person. Tay Conti, I think there's a lot of potential in her to have a breakout year. She's not ready yet. Then we have the main event. Kenny Omega defending the AEW World Championship against Rey Fénix. Like I said, the match that was supposed to happen 2 months ago but didn't is now finally here. And I expected this to be like every Rey Fénix match, where there are a lot of moves that have me kind of jumping out of my seat, but fearing for the man's life. And that exactly, almost to a T, is what we got here in this match. But man, this match was fucking great. This was a main event. This was a world championship main event on this show. This was awesome. This was what I was hoping it would be. Unlike the women's match, this was what I was hoping it would be. Omega very early on dropped Fénix back first onto the metal guardrail outside. Omega comes back into the ring, hits the Kotaro Crusher. Fénix kicks out. There were so many big moves and just great spots here in this match. A lot of counters and kicks and I can't even get into every single sequence that they got into here. But Fénix, I have to talk about this. You know my thoughts on the dives and everything, but Rey Fénix is one of those guys I can excuse. Rey Fénix is one of the guys who should be able to be running around diving everywhere, because if you're going to dive, dive better than anybody else. And Rey Fénix is in that top 3 of guys who wrestle that style who are better than everybody else. The man is out of his mind. He can do things that nobody else is doing. So when you do a dive, right, if you're going to do it, then go balls to the wall. Make it look like the most devastating dive in the world. Make it look like it's going to actually kill the opponent. And not a case where, okay, let me catch you and everybody just sort of tumbles down to the ground. Kenny Omega's outside the ring. And Rey Fénix builds up an insane amount of speed. And he hits this suicide dive right through the ropes. He caught Omega. So he crashes into Omega. But he was going so fast, I think he bounced ass first off the guardrail. I'm surprised he didn't go through the guardrail. So that looked insane. He was coming in hot on that one. Followed that up with a moonsault off the ropes. I don't even know how to describe this. Kenny Omega is standing there. Rey Fénix jumps up. I think it was the middle rope on the inside. Maybe it was the top rope. I want to say middle rope. But anyway, he hits a moonsault. When he lands on the moonsault, lands right behind Kenny, immediately grabs Omega around the waist and takes him over. And he took him over for a German suplex right on top of his head. Right on top of his fucking head. He dumps Omega right on his noggin. This looked like murder. This was attempted murder, what Rey Fénix tried to do to this man. Murder on his neck. Fénix followed that up with a diving foot stomp on the apron right to the back of Omega's head. Again, they're trading strikes back and forth, near falls back and forth. Now we're in the home stretch. V-trigger. One winged angel attempt by the champion, but Fénix counters with a poison rana. And again, dumps Omega on top of his head. So now Fénix is on the ramp. Got that short ramp, right? The stage, the ramp to the ring. And so he's going to get a running start. What he's going to do, I don't know. But he starts to run. Omega, though, jumps up, hits him with a V-trigger. So he's going to try again. Fénix backs up. He tries again. This time, he dives over the top rope into the ring and catches Kenny on the way down with a cutter. Looked great. Smooth as silk. Only gets a near fall out of it. Fénix goes up top. He pays tribute to Eddie Guerrero, right? He does the whole Eddie Guerrero thing, right? Looks up at the sky. He's shaking around. Goes up top. Goes for the frog splash. Connects, but Omega gets the knees up on the way down. Buries the knees in the gut. Man, I have seen that spot probably 5 times in the last 2 days. I feel like I saw the knees buried in the gut in a whole bunch of matches at Wrestle Kingdom. And then we saw it twice on this show. At least twice. Actually, no, 3 times. I think 3 times. In the opening match, right, somebody got the knees up on Jack Evans when he went for the 630. Cody got the knees up, I think, on the Shooting Star attempt by Seidel. And then again here. So, yeah. A lot of getting the knees up in the last few days. Fénix comes off the ropes with a cannonball. Just dives into Omega. Omega catches him. This was unique. He catches him, but he catches him with his arms hooked, like the double underhook. And it took some strength on his part because he held him up there, caught him in midair, held him up there in that double underhook position, and dropped him straight down on top of his head with the, as Excalibur exclaimed, Tiger Driver! Tiger Driver 98. I know that because he yelled it at me. Hit the Tiger Driver 98. Hit a V-trigger. Fénix kicks out. And Omega finally puts him away. One-winged angel. Nobody kicks out of the one-winged angel. And that is all that she wrote. This was a fucking great match. I love this main event. This is what the world title is all about. Putting on matches like this. Rey Fénix was not going to win the championship, but he had his moment of glory. He got his moment in the sun. He fell just short. Boy, did they give him a lot in this match. He came away looking like a star. But in the end, he just fell a little bit short. Just wasn't enough to put the champion away. So Don Callis is on the microphone. And he's throwing it to something that's happening in the back. And we look up at the screen and we see Death Triangle, the other members. We see Pac. We see Penta. They're being beaten up by the Butcher and the Blade. So they've now been taken out. Fénix is all alone. He's got no friends. He's got no backup. Nobody to save him. And he tells Omega to go ahead and get him. John Moxley comes out and he's got a barbed wire baseball bat in his hand. I don't know if he went to Sting and said, hey, could I borrow your bat? And then wrapped it in barbed wire if he got one of his own. But here he comes, barbed wire baseball bat, right to the midsection of Kenny Omega. When who should show up but the Impact Tag Team Champions? Oh, yes. The Impact Tag Team Champions have arrived in AEW. Luke Gallows and Karl Anderson making their big debut. They attack Jon Moxley from behind. They are wearing their Impact Tag Team titles. They have the Impact Tag Team titles around their waist. They hit the Magic Killer. They lay out Moxley. So it is the Impact Invasion. I guess we're supposed to believe it was all just one big setup. They knew that Jon Moxley was going to come out, or they feared that he might come out, and they had these guys just waiting on standby. It was all a setup. by Omega and Callis. Omega takes the barbed wire bat, 6 shots to John Moxley's back with the barbed wire. All the AEW dark talent from ringside, they jump in to try to stop them. One by one, they get taken out. Gallows powerbomb one of the luchadors through the timekeeper's table outside the ring. And Gallows and Anderson, they get back in the ring. They're holding up Moxley. And Omega hits him right in the gut, right in the midsection with the barbed wire bat. Here come the Young Bucks. Young Bucks have a little bit of history with these guys. But they come down to try to calm down Kenny and say, what are you doing, man? Enough. Right? Like they're the baby faces in this. And Griff Garrison and Brian Pillman Jr., who were some of the dark talents who were at ringside, all of a sudden they grab Omega by the arms from behind, like holding him for the Bucks to do something. And the Bucks deliver dual super kicks to the Varsity Blondes. So now the announcers are wondering, wait a minute, are the Bucks in on this? Are they with these guys? And Kenny throws up the too sweet hand gesture, right? The old Bullet Club elite hand gesture. And as they go off the air, we see the Young Bucks return the gesture in kind. And the announcers are going crazy. They're talking about, what does this mean? They're back together. The band is back together. The family is back together. So that was a pretty good cliffhanger there. If you don't care about Impact Wrestling, if you don't care about Anderson and Gallows, then maybe you don't really see it as a big deal. But at some point, we needed Impact talent to show up on Dynamite. It can't just be a one-way road. You can have Kenny Omega making appearances, but at some point, the other guys have to invade. The other guys have to show up. And Kenny has been hanging out with these guys every week on Impact. These are his buddies. Like I said, there's a pay-per-view coming up the weekend after this upcoming weekend. Impact has a pay-per-view called Hard to Kill, which is a great way to describe that company for the last 20 years. It's going to be Kenny Omega teaming up with Anderson and Gallows against Rich Swann and the Motor City Machine Guns, which sounds like a hell of a main event. I assume that at some point it is going to lead to a championship match, maybe a double title match between Omega and Rich Swann. But that is the match coming up on pay-per-view. So we know these guys are together. Are the Young Bucks going to be with them? Does that mean the Young Bucks are heels? We just sat through how many weeks of the Young Bucks pretending to be heels? Now, they never were. They were a bunch of like emo teenagers running around having a, pitching a hissy fit. But after all those weeks of the Young Bucks pretending to be heels, I don't think I'm ready for them to be heels again. So I don't know that this was really a heel turn so much as this was them just kind of throwing support out there for their friends. I don't know that I really look at this as a turn. We're going to have to see what they do next week on the show. But now that they're getting some of the Impact talent involved, who is it before? Spanish? Where's my boy? Where's Spanish Gottish? Where is he still here? He was very upset. He was hoping for EC3. EC3 is recovering from COVID, so I'm not even sure if he's ready to come back yet. If he's already come back, then I apologize, but last I heard, weeks ago, he was still having a rough go. But in due time, we may see EC3 on Dynamite. We may see a Deonna Purrazzo make an appearance on Dynamite as well. Great, let's get another promotions women's title in there with better matches than we're going to get from the AEW Women's Champion. But maybe we'll have the AEW Women's Champion against the Impact Women's Champion. Maybe we can get some of that interpromotional stuff going. It is nothing but a positive for Impact. AEW does not have to do anything with Impact. But for Impact, my God, are you kidding me? To get this kind of exposure for some of their talent on TNT as opposed to, 20,000 people on Twitch. It's a great deal for them. But they have some real talent in that company. And if we start to see the flow of talent become a little more fluid, a little more regular and normal, it could make for some fresh matches on Dynamite that are fun, and people making appearances that ordinarily wouldn't expect to see on the show. That really is what excites me more about this. Whatever's going to happen with the Good Brothers. Yeah, I mean, the Good Brothers, whatever. Like, the Good Brothers alone don't do anything for me. But the idea of other talent rotating in and out, that's what appeals to me. That's what I find appealing. But I thought it was a great cliffhanger. Next week, it is week two of New Year's Smash. We've got Darby Allin defending the TNT title against Brian Cage. Pac takes on Eddie Kingston. We've got Chuck Taylor against Miro. If Chuck loses, he becomes Miro's young boy. Jurassic Express take on FTR. Serena Deeb defends her NWA women's title against Tay Conti. Cody is going to be a guest on The Waiting Room. Britt Baker's talk show makes its way to Dynamite for the first time. And the Inner Circle said that they are going to reveal their New Year's resolutions. So that is the lineup for next week's show. Yeah, Dan in the chat says this hasn't helped Impact that much. After that first week, the numbers went down. So yes, ratings-wise, there was the initial curiosity that boosted them, I think, to a Twitch record. And they picked up maybe, I think, 70 or 80,000 viewers from one week to the next on Access TV. And then the numbers went right back down. So that tells you the staying power of, I think, this angle as far as them potentially picking up new viewers. But that doesn't mean you still shouldn't do it. If the two companies are willing to work together, I think a talent exchange could be a mutually beneficial thing. But wrestling, look, the thing about wrestling right now, wrestling is not hot. It's not. And I want AEW to do well and, you know, NXT. I enjoy watching NXT and I'm very interested to see where New Japan ends up because apparently they're going to be back on English television very soon. We don't know on what station, but that's pretty cool, right? So that's great. If you're a wrestling fan, that's great. You got a lot of choices right now. But do not mistake all of the different wrestling out there for the fact that wrestling is not hot. The pandemic, it's even less hot than it's even colder than it was before. But it's going to be a while, I think, before wrestling can generate the level of interest where you really can appeal to a mainstream audience and bring in all of these new fans and the numbers begin to swell back up. You know, we're kind of in our little wrestling bubble here, but wrestling is not that hot. And if you're a promotion like Impact, where you basically, I mean, it's almost like some people don't even know you exist. It's hard, right? So yeah, maybe you can get a little bit of attention by partnering with a company like AEW, but it's not going to be an overnight thing where all of a sudden hundreds of thousands of people are tuned into Impact every week. That's not how it works. I don't think it's ever going to work that way for Impact. But I would like to see AEW working with different promotions in 2021 more than they are now, right? NWA, Impact, only a matter of time. Only a matter of time before we add New Japan to that list. Wouldn't it be kind of funny if the TV deal ended up being TNT? TNT, but on a different night? I assume that can't happen. What did you guys think of this show tonight? What did you guys think of Dynamite? Wowza. 87.2% thumbs up. A rousing thumbs up for AEW. 12.8% thumbs down over on the NXT side. Tonight was their big New Year's Evil show. 68.1% thumbs up. And 32% thumbs down. Well, that's about in line with what they normally do. That's about what they normally do. Boy, NXT really did. It just can't break the can't break that pattern, right? They're always in that mid to upper 60 range. I don't know. I was seeing some good things. I was hearing some positive things about New Year's Evil. I am bummed they bumped the Fight Pit match off the show. I'm not sure if it was just they realized they had too many matches, didn't have enough time to set up the whole Fight Pit. That, you know, my guess is that probably is what it is. I don't think anybody's hurt. I bet you it's they realize we don't have enough time to set the Fight Pit thing up and take it down or, you know. So hopefully they're just going to do it next week. That was one of the matches I was looking forward to. Now I'm kind of pissed. Jacob Donnelly, thank you for the $5 earlier on. I was hoping the Bucks would super kick Moxley, similar to how the club turned on AJ in New Japan. Still a fantastic ending. EJ, buy, sell, or rent the big three WWF managers. Wow, we're going back a ways now. Captain Lou, the Grand Wizard, and classic, well, it's classy. He is classic, but it's classy Freddie Blassie. Well, I'm sorry to say that I am not as familiar with the Grand Wizards. I know who the Grand Wizard is, but I did not grow up watching the Grand Wizard. I did see Captain Lou. I did see Fred Blassie. They were at the tail end of their careers at that point as managers. I really have no personal memories of them in the ring as wrestlers. I got to go with Captain Lou, man. I mean, I know Fred Blassie in the ring, man. The guy's a Hall of Famer. They're all Hall of Famers. But Captain Lou, he was a personality. He was a character. Very loud. Plus, I used to watch the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. Hey, Bison, it's the Super Mario Brothers Super Show. I used to watch that shit all the time. Oh, I loved it. Never saw Fred Blassie on there. So I'll buy on Captain Lou. I'll rent Fred Blassie and I'll sell the Grand Wizard. Dry chicken without flavor. Kenny Omega, the cleaner, is going to be his year. AW Impact partnership has really worked out. Well, for some, I don't know how well it's worked out for Impact so far, but, you know, look, any exposure is good exposure. GV 2186, I swear the censors deliberately missed the swearing. They used to do that all the time when WWE shows. Somebody would say, you got 15,000 people calling you an asshole. And as soon as they would say asshole, they would wait and then they would bleep. I just think they're not very good at their job. That's the conclusion I've come to. These people are just not that good at what they do. Truly, you only have one job. And they can't even get that right. So why bother? Why bother? Just everyone on this show is always saying shit anyway. You're a piece of shit, bullshit, eat shit. Why do they even bother bleeping it? Just let it flow. Let the shit flow. Level 20, Omega saw Wrestle Kingdom and decided that he wanted that kind of match. Fun show. Well, hey, if Omega wants a match, I'm just saying there's another guy right now that he's very familiar and friendly with who also happens to be a double champion. Just saying. That would be a hell of a match. Rodimus Prime, Bullet Club has officially taken over AEW. Cody James, thank you for the $3. Is WWE going to send a C&D over the two sweet? Oh, cease and desist? They could try. I don't think there's much that they can do about that. It's a hand gesture. I could think of another hand gesture that they can give them. Jared, again, thank you, man. That was earlier. Thank you for the $50. I appreciate that. Bill Mitchell was the one who dropped the $75 Mantar Super Chat. Hope you were all able to hear it, too. I don't like doing audio on those. On that one, though, I said I have to make an exception. So hopefully it came through. That is the new $75 and up Super Chat. Dry Chicken, Max Caster's mic skills are on point. So dope. Yeah, I heard him drop John Cena's name a few times in that rap as he was coming to the ring. Naif Al-Safar, thank you for the 10. Oz and Glorious, after a nightmare day, AEW is exactly what I needed. Omega Bullet Club situation gave me all the old school NWO feels. Magician Sapphire, hopefully we can get Rey Fénix and Ricochet on AEW one day. That would be nuts. I mean, Rick O'Shea, who's, I don't think, ever been lower in his entire career. That Ricochet, is there going to be any interest left in Ricochet by the time his run there is all said and done? I would be amazed if there is. Dry Chicken thought Abaddon was going to perform a fatality on Hikaru Shida on live TV. One and only, speaking of Ricochet, Who makes you more nervous watching them take bumps, Ray Phoenix or Darby Allin? Ray Phoenix. I mean, Darby Allin does some dumb shit, but Ray Phoenix, the way he flies around and all the twisting and it you know, the thing with Darby also, and I actually like this, if Darby, you know, if you're going to have somebody who does dives, then do it the right way. One of my critiques with the diving is that it just doesn't look like you're actually hurting your opponent. But if you're launching yourself at rocket speed out of the ring, King Cuerno used to do that. King Cuerno was awesome in Lucha Underground, now, you know, Santos Escobar in NXT. He had some of the best dives out of the ring that I had ever seen because he would build up a head of steam and he would just come like a missile. And it looked good. Visually, it looked good. It looked devastating. Darby Allin does that too. He'll just launch himself. Sometimes he'll crash into the barricade. So, yeah, I mean, look, I worry about all these guys when they do stupid shit like that. But Ray Phoenix is some of the stuff he does, and he's gotten hurt a few times, right? He's been concussed, or they thought he was concussed. So, you just kind of hold your breath every time. Do I think Darby is going to take a big bump next week? Probably. I mean, he's going to be in there with a guy twice his size. So, I'm sure Brian Cage could pick him up with one hand and probably, you know, chuck him 20 feet into the crowd if he wanted to. Dry Chicken, last week's New Year's stream, I predicted that AEW will go on their first road show with CDC and state approval. They're leaving Daly's place in February. I've heard that too. I don't know if that's been confirmed or not, but I have to get more information on that. I've heard the same thing, that they may be leaving Daly's place, even if just for a few weeks, they may be leaving Daly's place. Look, Daly's place is a great spot for them. Now, it gets tiresome when you're in the same place for so long. I look forward to the day when they're able to get back to bigger buildings, but, you know, if they're going to trade Daly's place for another small, you know, shitty building somewhere else in Florida, I mean, what's the point? Unless there's something else going on at Daly's place that is necessitating them to leave, I don't know why they would leave. At this point, you're going to be there for a while yet anyway. You may as well just stay where you are. Jaren would love to see Beetlejuice in AEW for a night. Now, are we talking the Beetlejuice from AEW? WCW? The Whack Packer? Because I thought he was dead. Is he alive? I feel like all those Whack Pack guys from the Stern Show, I feel like they're all dead at this point. Or are you talking the one and only Beetlejuice, Michael Keaton? Because that's, to me, that's the only Beetlejuice there is. You see Michael Keaton on AEW? Andy Alta, thank you for the five. Is Jay White going to appear in AEW now that it looks like the former Bullet Club members are forming a new faction and he is, quote, quitting New Japan? I don't think so. I mean, I don't know what's going on with him. Obviously, it's some kind of angle they're doing with him. So I don't know if they're going to just kind of keep him out for a while, if he's going to disappear and come back in a few months, or maybe he's got to go back home. Maybe he's going back home with the pandemic and everything, and they don't expect him back for a while, so they're just doing the quitting angle. I don't think he's going to show up on Dynamite, if that's what you're talking about. So, yeah, but I don't know where that angle is going. I was surprised. I watched New Year Dash. I thought they would shoot some kind of big angle with him earlier today, and they didn't. They didn't do anything. Brian Moxley, is that your real name? Brian Moxley, do you think Brody Jr. will continue to be appearing with Dark Order on TV, or just temporarily now that he... for now, until he is older. I think these are just temporary. Remember, that was taped last week when his mother was there. He was there for the tribute show. I don't expect him to be there every week. No. But he does have a contract. An actual contract that is waiting for him when he turns 18 years old, if that's what he wants to do. If he wants to become a pro wrestler, his mom has said, because he's going to go to school first. But when he turns 18... he has an AEW roster spot waiting for him. And judging by the way that he's been fighting everybody and his promo skills on Dark, I'd say the kid's a shoo-in. It is kind of scary in the face how much he looks like his dad. If you remember what Brody Lee looked like on the Independents before he had that rat's nest on his face, facially, I mean, he looks very much like his father. BW Rosas, Bullet Club and AEW, perhaps what they want you to think. Watch it be a ruse thanks to Tony Khan outsmarting Omega. That means Moxley will show up at Hard to Kill. Good point. Could be the boss playing tit for tat. Very possible. I'm enjoying, by the way, they're still doing the vignettes with him and Tony Schiavone buying airtime on Impact. And the most recent one was their New Year's ad. They were wishing Happy New Year to all the Impact fans. And he talked about wanting to help those less fortunate this season. Those less fortunate, like Impact Wrestling. I like that. Tony Khan in those segments, I think, is great. Chris Quillman, what's going on, Chris? Happy 2021. Do you think the AEW Impact thing is long term? And who should take the belt from Shida? Too soon for Penelope. Yes, it is too soon for Penelope. I really think it should be Britt Baker. And I think it will be Britt Baker. I don't know when. I don't know if it'll be Revolution or if they're going to wait it out a little bit more. But I'd like to see it be Britt. AEW Impact thing long term, I don't know that anybody knows. I think they're just kind of playing it as they go. And we'll see what the reaction to it is. Shane Hughes, AEW has a bad habit of undercooking the women's division. Undercooking? Are you implying that it is raw? I don't understand. Undercooking. Maybe undercutting? Undercutting. Maybe that's what you mean. By putting on great NWA women's title matches. Maybe. But I definitely don't like my women's division undercooked. I actually had something last week that was undercooked. It was not a good night for the Solid Monster, I will tell you that. I was praying to somebody. Oofman Entertainment, what AEW shirt are you wearing? This is the Double or Nothing shirt from when I was at Double or Nothing. Yeah, Double or Nothing. So, there you go. I like the design. I just really like the logo. So, there you go. Double or Nothing shirt. You could probably still get it off their website. They had one for the first Double or Nothing. They had one for the second one, which ended up being in front of no fans. Yukio Rules, thank you for the $25. I appreciate that very much. Thanks for the great work you do. Also, what is your favorite AEW theme? Well, my new favorite AEW theme is now going to be Jungle Boy, now that he's going to come out to Tarzan Boy. So that's my new favorite. That's going to be my new favorite theme. Uffman Entertainment, who is doing the Lord's work in the chat, you see the wrench, show him some respect. When you talk about Uffman, you put some respect on his name. You understand me? That's for me. Says Jericho doing a Stu Hart impression equals ratings. Dry Chicken. Sting's list of opponents: Cody, Darby, Jericho, MJF, Marty Scurll. Oh yeah, we'll talk about Marty Scurll. Moxley and Matt Hardy. What are your thoughts? Sting has said he will have cinematic matches. I don't think he's going to have that many singles matches. So, you know what? Sting and Jericho, I expect that. I do. Sting and MJF, I can see. Sting and Darby, I don't know if it's going to be a match or just some kind of weird mentor relationship. You mentioned Marty Scurll. I don't see Marty Scurll coming into AEW. If they wanted Marty Scurll, then they would snatch him up. I don't see it happening. I just think that he is toxic for the time being. At least for now. The fact that Ring of Honor let him go, if AEW were to just scoop him right up. But I've heard WWE is apparently interested in Marty Scurll, and they may scoop him right up. I guess we'll see how that shakes out. Just seems to me, though, that whatever Ring of Honor found in their investigation may have been nothing new, but they felt, you know what, we can't do business with this guy anymore. We're just going to let him go. You talk about a fall from grace. This is a guy who everybody assumed was coming to AEW, right? Everybody assumed that he was coming into AEW with his buddies. And he took the most lucrative contract ever offered to anybody in the history of Ring of Honor. And they gave him the book. Not only was he going to perform, he was making bank, he was going to be booking the shows. And then the pandemic hit, and then the speaking out movement hit, and now the guy is unemployed. He has been persona non grata for the last 6, 7, 8 months, and now he is unemployed. He's out of a deal. That is an amazing fall from grace from where he was even just a year ago. Truly amazing, the fall of Marty Scurll. Where he ends up, I don't think it's going to be AEW. Not right now. Oz and Glorious, what is the over-under on Marty Scurll joining this Bullet Club reunion someday sooner than later? Never say never. I don't see it being sooner. I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong. Maybe AEW says, you know what, Marty, the past is the past, and it might look bad now, kind of, but we're going to bring him on in. He's still our friend. We're going to bring him in. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't think they're going to want to jump right into that, though. I don't see that happening in the next few weeks. DGMC, first time I've seen Solo Monster in the flesh. Well, there you go. Was it all that you hoped for? Probably not. Probably not. But yes, I am an actual living, breathing human being, believe it or not. BW, do you see... Oh, did you see Ali's shoot on WWE on Raw Talk? Well, first of all, anything on Raw Talk is not a shoot. It may be a worked shoot, but if it's on WWE television, it ain't no shoot. And I have not seen it yet. I'm going to watch it. I've heard great things about it. I will definitely watch it before I do the podcast on Sunday. Turtlehead, I don't eat Thai. If I ate Thai food, my eyes would be bugging out of my head. I don't do Thai. I do Chinese food. I love Chinese food. I don't do Thai. Let's go to your calls and see. Maybe one of you guys likes Thai, right? Maybe we got some Thai fans here. Let's go to 740. See if he likes Thai.
Hello.
740. You're on the air.
Hello, Solo Monster. How are you doing today?
I'm doing well. How are you? Who are we talking to?
You're talking to Travis.
Hey, Travis.
Yes, sir. How are you doing? Oh, I asked that. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm just still buzzing about the Bullet Club deal.
Yeah, a lot of people.
Very cool stuff.
Yeah, a lot of people seem to really like that ending, and they're excited to see where it goes.
Yeah, I was expecting Rich Swann and the Guns myself to make a save because that's who the opposition is at the pay-per-view. Maybe they'll be there next week. They got to build the match up, and they got into a brawl with those guys on Impact.
Yeah, I mean, it would make sense unless AEW just isn't interested in promoting the other pay-per-view, but maybe. I mean, I think at some point, Rich Swann and Kenny Omega, they're going to go one-on-one. I don't know if it's going to be a title match or just special attraction, but I think it's almost a lock we're going to get Omega and Swann.
Yes. So, hey, I wanted to focus on a quick buy or sell and then get into MJF because he ties into one of my buy or sells.
Sure.
So, first off, buy or sell on the match. ECW, there's a barbed wire massacre match between Sabu and Terry Funk, which I loved just because of the action and the toughness those two displayed, especially Sabu with his bicep falling, like, I don't know how you would say it, but, like, part of his arm was hanging off, it felt like. And if you remember, they had to tape that back up. I don't know if you've ever seen the match or not.
But it's a
legendary match.
Yeah, many, many years ago. It's been a while since I have, but it was a long time. That's a famous match, though.
Yeah, and... and just that's one of my favorites. And just watched it earlier again, but JBL and Eddie Guerrero in the bull rope match. And I like that, obviously, for the action, but I like the storytelling. I thought it told a tremendous story, as Eddie Guerrero was just brilliant at doing. And they made, I think that's what made JBL a legit main event star, starting out with his title reign and all that stuff. So buy or sell on that. And if you, tell me if you agree with this. But when I think of MJF, I see a mixture of JBL and 2003 Randy Orton. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I could see that. 2003 Randy Orton, he was still in Legend Killer. Well, was that a little before Legend Killer, right? Legend Killer was like 04, 05. I could see that, though. Got that smug look to him. Yeah, I could see that. I think that's a decent comparison.
Yeah, which match did you like better between the barbed wire match and the bull rope match?
I mean, I wasn't really, again, I don't remember too much of the barbed wire match because it's been so long, but the bull rope match, I enjoyed that. So I guess by default, I'd have to go with the bull rope match of those two.
Oh, before I forget, tomorrow, because I figured it'd be worth noting, tomorrow is the 20-year anniversary since the last ECW show.
We are.
Or this week in wrestling history, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of anniversaries, actually, this year. That, for the history segment, it's going to be a very busy year between the death of WCW and ECW and the invasion. And it's the 20-year anniversary of...
I was only two when that happened.
Yeah, it's the 20-year anniversary of probably the greatest WrestleMania of all time. So, yeah, we got a lot of good stuff coming up this year on... this weekend.
I was only 2 years old when that happened, actually.
2 years old? Wait.
Yeah.
2 years old when what happened?
When ECW went under.
Oh,
and
wow.
WCW went under.
All right, young.
But
young.
I still love it, though. I mean, I still feel nostalgic for wrestling that I was too young to remember or was before my time.
Well, as long as you have an appreciation for it, there's a lot of great wrestling that you missed out on, and probably a lot of it that's better than a lot of the stuff you'll see today. So at least you can catch up on all the good stuff.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Eddie Guerrero is my all-time favorite wrestler, though.
Well, you got good taste. Well, listen, Travis, that's awesome. I'm glad you're able to make it through. And I'm going to take somebody else because I want to make sure I get to a few people here. But anything else before we wrap it up?
No, it's all, Monster. Just thanks for your time, man. Let's just love wrestling and... hopefully, you know, the pandemic dies and we can all go see wrestling in person again and just be a fan and love life and enjoy life.
From your lips, my friend, to whoever's listening, I agree. You and I are in agreement on that. I cannot wait to have meetups again and get together with you guys and go to Vegas for the next Double or Nothing show. Any excuse to go to Vegas, really. Vegas and New Orleans, I think, are two of my favorite places. I would go back to New Orleans in a heartbeat. It kind of breaks my heart to think, you know, a lot of the places, whether it's on Bourbon Street or other areas there, that I probably was in the last time I was there, may not be there anymore when this is all over. I don't know if all those places are going to survive or not. If we have anybody who's a New Orleans native who can, in the chat, who can shed some light. Some of those institutions they have down there. I hope they all make it through. Who knows what these places are going to look like when this pandemic is finally over. Keep these places closed long enough, they may not be there when we get back. It's very sad. 810.
Hey, Masala Monster, what's going on?
Well, it's been a very interesting day, but we are talking wrestling and... AEW, I assume you watched Dynamite tonight.
Absolutely. Yes, I did.
And what did you think?
It wasn't bad. I'm not a big fan of the whole Impact Invasion.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. That's just me, though. I think it's kind of boring, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, look, some people are not going to be into it if you don't... Like, I don't follow... I mean, you guys know. I used to watch Impact many years ago. I don't watch mm-hmm. Impact now. So I know who these people are. Obviously, we know who Anderson and Gallows are. So I get that. All right. they used to be in the Bullet Club, and it's kind of cool to kind of get this little reunion going on. But it really isn't how they execute, right? Just seeing some of the Impact talents is like, all right, but what are you doing with them? We really are still in the early stage of this relationship. So,
yeah,
I think the real potential fun is in some of the matches. I think Kenny Omega and Rich Swann would be a fun match. I think it would be a great match. What other matches like that Absolutely. can they deliver? But I don't know that there's any one guy who's going to just show up on Dynamite to invade and get me to go, oh, like, I'm so excited. I can't think of who that would be. It's not like it was with WCW back in the day. You'd be flipping between the shows. You never knew who was going to show up on one channel or the other. That was a very different time to be a wrestling fan.
Yeah, definitely. No, my question is, so, like, I've been in quarantine from COVID for a few days, so I went back and watched some Brian Cage matches, and he's awesome. So my thing is, he's probably going to lose next week, and it's like, what do you do with the guy?
I wouldn't even put him in this match. I think it's a mistake. You know,
yeah, I wouldn't either.
He's got the FTW title.
It looks like you're burying him.
Yeah, you know, he's got the FTW title, and I know it's not an official belt, but I think he should defend it sometimes on the show. My idea was to make it like a tough man title. So you put him in the ring with somebody like a Lance Archer or, you know, like bigger guys that are closer to his size and just let them go out there and just, you know, beat the hell out of each other. If he's going to go into this match next week and lose, which I'm pretty sure he is, yeah, I don't know that really helps him out a lot. Why not do Darby and Ricky Starks? I mean, I know they've already wrestled, but, you know, to me, that would make more sense. They've had issues in the past. That's a better match.
Yeah, for sure.
You know, more evenly matched. Or maybe, you know, somebody else from Dark who goes on a winning streak and, you know, ends up on Dynamite and becomes number one contender. I don't know that it has to be Cage. I agree. It's a little strange.
Yeah. If they were to switch that title, you know, in the upcoming future, who would you like to see hold it?
The TNT title?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if I wouldn't have him be the one to beat Darby, but I do think Jungle Boy at some point, I think he'll be a great guy to put that title on. I think that title was made for people like that. You know, to hold that.
Yeah.
Elevate them maybe to that next level. You got MJF, of course. MJF would be a prime candidate for that. Sammy Guevara. Any of those guys.
Yeah, definitely. And one last thing is just, I think I speak for everyone in saying that I don't want to see Marco Stunt on my TV next week.
Well, yeah, but
what, I don't know how the hell he got a contract.
But what if he gets destroyed, though? Would you want to see that? you would want to see that.
I mean, yeah.
Come on, admit. That you would want to see.
Yeah.
If Marco Stunt is going to go on TV and just get absolutely murdered by FTR next week, you're going to have a big smile on your face. You can admit it. It's okay. You can admit
it. That's how it should be, too. I hope they don't give him any, you know, offense or anything.
Oh, he'll get offense.
It's obvious. You know?
He will definitely get offense, but FTR needs a kick in the ass, and I think one way to do that would be a really brutal injury angle where they just do something really heinous to Marco Stunt and take him out and make it very clear that we're not jokes. You know, we're here to be taken seriously. Fuck this guy, and just do something really dastardly to him and take him out.
Definitely. Oh, and one last thing is I wanted to ask this because I don't understand it, is the whole flashback thing from Tully. I'm not really understanding that. I don't know if that's like some from the past or what, but
yeah, I didn't get that either. I feel like I'm missing something there. Unless it was some kind of short joke that I'm not in on. I wasn't exactly clear on that either.
Yeah, because it's like the second week he said it, or third, or something like that.
Well, then it has some kind of meaning, and I just don't know. I just don't know what it is.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you anyway, man. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks for calling. Anybody in the chat, if you know what Tully is talking about when he talks about flashback, let me know, because I'm sure I'm missing something here. We got some more super chats. Neil Childs. Thoughts on Ibushi winning the IWGP title? Man, I got two parts of Wrestle Kingdom up. Audio reviews up on the feed. I love it. I love it. I'm a big Ibushi fan. I think it was a move that I was hoping they would make last year, but they had the story arc with Naito. I get it. I get it. You want to finish that out. He's awesome. I mean, you just look at the guy with those belts holding those titles. The guy looks like a champion. I feel the same way about Roman Reigns. Ever since the heel turn, he walks out there. The guy just, he oozes champion. We got a lot of really great champions right now, if you think about it. Kota Ibushi is just, I think, a fantastic champion in that role. Roman Reigns has been doing some of the best work of his career. Kenny Omega now is starting out with this heel run. So far, so good. Drew McIntyre. I like Drew, and some people, you know, they put a lot of the blame on him for Raw and ratings and all that. I think that's very unfair. I think he's done a fine job. So I'm actually pretty happy when you look at the lay of the land where champions are concerned. I think you got a lot of good ones right now. I think you got the belts on the right people. Dry Chicken, one day, Jay White will once again be IWGP heavyweight champion, but butt hurt, but Kota Ibushi deserved to be double champion. Wrestle Kingdom 15 was great. I forgot that Dry Chicken is a big Jay White fan. I don't want to rub it in, but the right man won. At least we can agree on that. And Hashway, good to hear from Hash. Just wanted to drop by and say great job as always reviewing Wrestle Kingdom, but how are you able to watch Raw after it? I'm sure it did not feel good. Yes, I started to make the mistake of watching Raw, and never do this, by the way. If you watch a New Japan show, especially a big New Japan show, do not watch that and then immediately go into Monday Night Raw. That is a big mistake. I just figured I could just knock it all out. I had just finished Wrestle Kingdom at 7:50. I'm like, well, fuck it. We'll just go right into Raw. I'll record the review after. I got as far as that Hulk Hogan H-phone promo, whatever the fuck that was. I said, yeah, I think I'm done here. I think we'll record our review now. We'll catch up with Raw. We got the rest of the week. We can catch up with Monday Night Raw. It took one segment to get me to turn the TV off and go do something else. Don't ever do that. Do not watch Raw immediately after a New Japan show. That is a very big mistake. 214.
What's up, fellow monster?
Who am I talking to? Who is this on the phone? Sound like New Day now. Woo!
Oh, God. Man, it's Food Hive.
Food Hive. Yeah. How was your new year?
Oh, it was great, man. Well, it was great. I recently lost my grandmother the other day, so it was great until then.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
You know.
I'm sorry to hear that.
Yeah, man. Hey, I had her 90 years, man. I ain't got nothing to be sad about.
That's a hell of a run. It's longer than any of my grandparents had, I can tell you that.
Yeah, man, that was great. But how was yours?
Well, it was great. I spent 4 hours talking wrestling with all these crazy bastards here, so we had a good time. You missed out. If you weren't there, you missed out.
I was there. I was just watching and studying while I was listening to you talk about that all that for 4 hours. I got a lot of work done.
Man, you missed. I'm telling you, you missed the moment there with that Mantar stuff. You missed it. That's gonna become a favorite super chat for people. I don't even know how I got on the subject. I can't even remember why I was talking about Mantar as we're heading into 2021. Of all the things for me to be talking about, and I'm just sitting here going, I'm like, what am I doing? Why? Why am I doing this? What's wrong with me?
Well. Oh, no, man. You come up with some stuff sometimes. Just like when you thought I made mac and cheese deviled eggs. Ugh. I don't know where you got that from.
I got it from you. I thought that's what you said. Actually, that's a good question. So, so for New Year's, was there a special dish or cuisine that you cooked, or what was your meal of choice for New Year's?
Smothered pork chops and turkey meatloaf, actually.
Okay. All right. That sounds a lot more appetizing than the Oreo deviled eggs or whatever it was that you threw on me that time. I want to throw up. You look, I didn't throw up here on the air. I almost went like,
oh, God. Yeah. I also had chitlins. You know what chitlins are?
I've heard of it. I don't think I know what it is, but I've heard of it.
It's pig intestines.
Oh, all right. Well, I'll take your word that it's very appetizing. I don't know that I'll be cooking it up anytime
it's
soon.
Good. Oh yeah. No,
if you say so,
I'll make them for you at the meetup one day. One day when you have a meetup in Dallas, I got you.
Well, I had one. I had a meetup in Dallas. What was it? 25. My God, was it really 5 years? Wow.
Yeah, that was 5 years ago.
Holy
man.
Shit.
Yeah.
Wow.
I was at work. I was pissed.
Oh, my God. What the fuck? That's right, because I had a... That was the one and only live show I did on location. We did it at Frankie's downtown. Is there something about Frankie's I should know? That doesn't sound very... Was I in the shady part of town and I didn't realize it? Was I in the seedy part of town?
No, I just had a situation outside of Frankie's one time, but it had nothing to do with the establishment itself. But yeah, it was just a fight. It's okay.
Well, anyway, there were no fights that day. Everybody was in harmony because Food Hive wasn't there, so there were no fights that broke out. Everyone, it was all love and peace. All love and peace that day.
Hey, man. It's all love over here, man. It's all good. I'm in a Whataburger line. Oh, yeah.
Well, I was going to say, before the chat jumps on you, was there a question in here somewhere?
That better leave me alone. But, happy about Ibushi winning. I don't like Ibushi. I don't know. I've never liked Ibushi.
You don't like Ibushi?
Anyway. I never liked him. I don't like him. I don't like him. Now, he might grow on me one day.
Why though? But is it because he did all the silly shit in DDT, or you just don't see the appeal?
It's a real superficial wrestling reason. It was because when the Bullet Club was, when it was having that civil war. And Ibushi just kept getting in the way of the Young Bucks and Kenny. I didn't like him. I didn't know anything about him, so I'm just getting used to
Mark.
And then this guy just comes in.
So you're a mark.
Yeah. Okay. Sure, I'm a mark.
Okay.
I'm a mark.
That's okay.
I'm a no good mark.
You can admit that. That's fine. We got plenty of those in here. It's all good.
Yeah. But I also respect him as a talent. So once we do get this New Japan, Impact, AEW thing going, I'm ready to see Ibushi versus some AEW talent. But my whole question was, how long do you think his reign is going to last?
Well, I was worried it was only going to last one day, so I was happy that didn't happen. I think he'll go the whole year with it. I think I could see him going into next Wrestle Kingdom at least with it. I mean, it's been so long, it's been building for so long, and now I think he deserves a lengthy run. I don't really see anybody who they need to rush the titles onto anytime soon. I think you give him a nice long run with it. I don't know who beats him for it, but I think he'll have it for a while. I think he'll have it for most, if not the entire year.
Hey, don't get me wrong. He deserves it. He deserves it. I'm just a filthy, filthy mark. I'm sorry.
You are. Look, the first step is admitting it, and you have done that. So
yes,
you're on your road to recovery.
God bless. Oh, man. right, that's the only question I have, man. God bless you. Love you, man. And thank you for doing what you do.
Well, thank you for tuning in, and it's always good times when Food Hype calls it. As long as he's not cooking up those deviled egg Oreo peanut butter Lipton soup, whatever the hell.
Yeah. You just add him.
Just throw everything in there.
More trash into
my
recipe.
Just throw everything. We'll throw soup in there, flour, chocolate.
Just no cheese for you, right?
No cheese. No cheese. It's going to be bad times for me if you do that. Yeah. All right.
God, not again. All right, brother.
All right. Take care. Food Hive from Dallas. I can't believe it's been, you just don't think of these things. But, yeah, WrestleMania 32. And we're heading into WrestleMania 37. It's amazing. It's amazing how time flies. It really is. Isn't it amazing, Jared, the way that time flies?
Yes, because I remember you broadcasting at the bar with Noah and Brian next to you.
Yeah,
I remember that shirt you were wearing.
Oh, the shirt. Well, I had to dress up for the occasion. I figured you got to class it up a little bit. And yeah, I think I still have that shirt. I might burn it. I'm not sure. I think it's here somewhere. might be worth something one day.
I remember that was a Monday. Following Sunday's 32.
It was.
WrestleMania 32.
It was.
I remember being in my office, and I just closed my door, and I tuned everything out to watch you in the middle of the day.
Damn straight.
I stopped all business just to listen to Jason.
Good.
But
that's a man who has his priorities right. You have nothing to apologize for.
Of course.
You have the right idea.
Of course. And I just got finished with night two of Wrestle Kingdom, and I must say I'm happy they kept the title on Ibushi. He deserves it. The slow burn, the real slow burn with him. I hopefully get a lengthy run, but I feel that Jay White really, I was not always high on Jay White, but he really, 45 minutes, he really impressed me in that match, and I think he's starting to come into his own. I think he got the title very quick, very soon. Maybe it's a little soon for him, but he has really grown as a performer. And
he's one of the best heels in the business.
Cool,
yeah, no, he's one. Look,
yes,
he's one of the best.
Absolutely.
One of the best heels in the business. And he's not going anywhere. He, like you said, he'll be champion again.
Eventually back, but yeah. And I was just a little nervous that after a year and a half, 2 years of slow burn, with NJP and NJWP, and how they do that storyline. I know it's slow burn, so I'm patient with it. But the Ibushi finally getting that belt on night one was very satisfying. After following it, it was very nice storytelling and following through on their end. And after maybe some people I've heard or read that some people think that 2020 for New Japan was kind of dicey in the storylines and all that, that I think they've started off the year on a bang. So it was good to see. It was good to watch. Probably tomorrow or the next day, I'll go back and listen to your night one review and night two review because I just finished it up today. So, but Jay White really impressed me, and he's a big star, and he has a nice future ahead of him. It was nice to see.
Yeah, two enjoyable shows. I don't think it'll go down as the classic that some of the recent Wrestle Kingdoms did, and part of that is the crowd, uh-huh. But it just didn't have the same feel to it. But, you could pick out three or four fantastic matches between those two nights. What did you think of the Shingo match with Cobb?
Awesome. And I agree with you. Do not combine the U.S. title with the world title. It's got to be vacated and have a tournament. Do it that way. And but getting on to AEW tonight, again, I don't understand why 5 weeks in a row now we've seen Sting. I'm going to be critical of this company. Everyone says I'm a mark for them. No, I'm going to be a little critical. Why is Sting out there? I don't get it. It's,
well, so they can advertise Sting. That's why.
I know. I just, and I'm thinking to myself, he's not going to turn on Dark. You can't turn Sting. WCW tried a couple times to turn Sting. It never worked. TNA actually tried to turn Sting. It didn't work in Rob Van Dam back in 2010. It just doesn't work. He's not a heel. He's a babyface. And I just know where this is going, and a little confused, to be honest with you. But, again, I have faith in Tony Khan that he knows what he's doing. And hopefully, you know, there is a bright side to this at the end of the day. I just don't know where they're going with this, and I'm not going to try to figure it out. But I just don't know. Special attraction 5 times in 5 weeks, you know, it's getting a little less special.
Yeah, I mean, that's the whole thing. It, you know, Sting appears this week, okay, and he comes out, and he stares, and he points the bat. It's like, all right, next week, Sting appears. And, you know, it's the same thing over and over. You got to, at some point, either give us something different or just take a week or two off. And that way, when Sting is ready to come back on TV in 2 weeks, it's like, oh, okay, he's coming back. He must be coming back for a reason. So that's how
I'm sure next week we're going to see him as well.
Yeah, well, I'm sure we will. I'm sure we will, and he'll be...
Yeah.
Well, look, Darby, maybe next week we will get something different because Darby is wrestling. He's defending the title against Team Taz. So I would expect Sting is absolutely going to be there. Will he get physical? Yep. Remember, we don't know what he is physically allowed to do. He's going to do cinematic, we know that, but just, you know, in a regular match, how physical can he get? You know, if he's gonna, can he take a bump? Can he hit somebody with the bat? Is he going to get physical? We don't know. And if he's not going to get physical, which he probably shouldn't, that's fine. But then what role is he going to play on this show? They can't fuck around for much longer. They have to establish, okay, what is his role going to be? Is he going to be some kind of a manager? Is he going to be, I hope it's not an authority figure, but like a mentor, a coach, a manager. We have a lot of that in AEW. Arn Anderson is a coach. Jake Roberts is a manager. Tully Blanchard. I don't know if that's
Snoop
the
Dogg.
Best. Snoop Dogg, yeah. Maybe they're going to do Sting against Snoop Dogg. What a disaster that would be.
Jesus Christ. Next point. Now, do you see, I love the whole ending here, and I am very excited with the Impact. I didn't think I would be, because, again, I haven't watched Impact since 2012, and I did see the angle last night with the Machine Guns and Rich Swann and Kenny and Gallows and Machine Gun, but... Yeah, it's intriguing to me, and seeing Matt and Nick need to work on their acting a little bit. But
a little bit.
Do you see Hangman? Do you see Hangman getting involved here?
Probably not. I mean, I feel like he is probably still going to be doing stuff with the Dark Order. I don't know that he needs to be involved. Yeah. Why would he be involved? I mean, I would keep him away. Well, no, just because of Kenny, though. But, I mean, with Kenny, I would keep them apart. I wouldn't do anything with them until it's time for him to challenge for the championship. I'd keep them, if it were up to me, for a while, I'd keep them separate.
I agree with you. And I'm very excited to see Pac versus Omega for the title eventually.
Eventually, we'll
very
get there.
To see that, Matt.
We'll get there.
Yeah, that's going to be very, very cool. All right, Jason, I'm not going to take up any more of your time. Appreciate everything, and I will talk to you next week.
Sounds
Happy
good.
Year, pal.
Thank you. Happy New Year, buddy. Thank you for all the support. That was Jared, joining us this week. We have some more of your Super Chats, so let's take a look here. JWD. With the five, it would have been cool if the Sting thing was a one-off, but I'm him coming out week after week doing nothing is lame. Dry chicken without flavor. One day the entire WWE roster will storm into Vince McMahon's office to take over WWE headquarters. Well, you know what? If they were going to do it, I think they would have done it by now. Unfortunately, I don't see that happening. Don't think they're going to be storming the castle at Titan Tower anytime soon. Let's do a couple more. How about that? We can do a couple more. Let's go to 910.
Sonic Monster, what's up, buddy? It's Eric from Clinton, North Carolina, not Fayetteville. You know, the last time I had called, you said it was Fayetteville, but it's Clinton.
Oh, okay. All right, yeah. Well, it's, for whatever reason, it says Fayetteville.
Yeah, it's about 35 minutes away from each other.
Okay. Yeah. It says Fayetteville.
Yeah, I don't know why it does that, too. But anyway, first and foremost, Happy New Year to you.
Happy New Year.
Like one of the other callers, I lost a relative. It was my great uncle just a couple of days ago.
I'm sorry.
It was this past weekend. Yeah, thank you for your condolences. I don't know his exact age or his health issues. And I don't think it was COVID related, because the last time I saw him was a couple of years ago, and he was doing, fairly good for himself, and everything. But yeah, we lost him. So I'm down to, I got one great aunt left out of my grandmother's brothers and sisters. And, it's like, oh, wow. But anyway, man, Solid Monster tonight, that is how you do an invasion to start off with. Yes, I know it's going to take time for it to build up little by little. And I hope that, like you said, some of the more impact talent will make an appearance on AEW. This is a hell of a lot better than the WCW invasion with WWE. I think this is gonna be great.
Well, I
enjoyed the match with Phoenix and Kenny Omega.
Yeah, that was great. That was the highlight of the night. Was that main event? Tremendous match. If it were any other week, I would say match of the week. But just with the Wrestle Kingdom stuff,
yeah,
it's probably a step below, but it was just a fantastic main event.
And I know the Wrestle Kingdom stuff was great, because I think every year Wrestle Kingdom from New Japan, they just blow WrestleManias away.
It's kind of unfair, because their show every year is on January 4th, and it's like, well, it's already over. I mean, come on, you've already got some of the best matches of the year in the first 4 days. It's not fair.
Exactly. because they doing a good job, and everything. And like you said earlier, we got some good champions. Now, the one thing I hate, and I'm going a little WWE, did you see the ending of Monday Night Raw? Goldberg coming out and confronting Drew Galloway or Drew McIntyre. I'm like, come on. I love Bill Goldberg, but not this time.
Yeah, we're going
to get it to somebody else who deserved that on the roster.
That's right. That's right. I agree. I'm going to be talking more about Bill Goldberg on Sunday, but I agree. Go with your current roster. Have faith. Have a little faith in your current talent.
Yeah, exactly. That's what the problem is with WWE. It's just like me and one of my cousins who I used to get along with, we were saying that they need to play their bench. Because he heard somebody, made a comparison with the actual, pro and college sports, which is true. You need to play your bench. Don't, keep bringing in these legends and stuff and everything like that. I'm not saying Bill Goldberg can't go in the ring, but he's limited, though. That's just like putting Ric Flair back in the ring at his age now. No. We got a pandemic going on.
I wouldn't go that far. I think Rick's a little bit older than Bill.
No, I shouldn't go that far. Yeah, he is. Yeah, he is, and everything. But it's just like, come on, WWE. Now, NXT was great tonight. The main event with Kyle O'Reilly and Finn Balor.
Yeah, I'm going to be
for the NXT title. That was great.
Yeah, I'm going to be watching that tomorrow. I'm looking forward to seeing how that show. Because I heard
I ain't going to tell you what happened, but I'm gonna just say it was good. But that was that New Year's Evil event, by the way. Just as a reminder, that's what that was. That New Year's Evil.
Yes.
From NXT.
Yeah.
But the Dynamite Smash Night 1 was great. I can't wait to see next week. And I agree with, you and one of the callers were saying earlier, Darby Allin should be taking on Ricky Starks instead of Darby Allin versus Brian Cage. That's more of
I agree.
Greater matchup and size-wise and everything, because they got a little storyline history between them. Ricky Starks coming out with half the face paint. And everything was Darby Allin was playing Darby's music, but it was Ricky Starks. And Taz, he does a great job on the microphone as always. And I love my dude Will Hobbs. I hate to hear that him losing his brother, you know, if it's going to be a, you know, wrestler manager combination rather. But I hope he gets a chance to be a champion down the line, you know, because
I think he will.
You know, hoping that AEW will push, you know, their black wrestlers more better than WWE has. You know,
well, I mean,
it's
but to be fair, though, I just made this comment the other day. If you look at the champions right now in WWE, I mean, you've got Bobby Lashley as the U.S. champion, right? You've got the Hurt Business.
He needs to be world champion. He should have been world champion.
But
like
got
I was telling you last time, they should have done that match with him and Brock Lesnar.
They should have, but they've got the Hurt Business as the Raw Tag Team Champions, the Street Profits
I like
as the SmackDown
too.
Tag
yeah,
Team
Hurt,
Champions.
Yeah.
Sasha Banks is the SmackDown Women's Champion.
I'm going to tell you, her cousin Snoop Dogg did good tonight in AEW. That was kind of, you know, he did good at being
just glad
Cody Rhodes' coach. And I think that, I think the show, the Go Big Show is going to be great on TBS. And also, I think the next time when TNT has to, you know, move AEW because of the NBA playoffs, put them over on TBS. I think that would be logical instead of True TV. I used to look at True TV when I had a higher cable package, like 200 channels and up.
Yeah, I mean, look, make sense. I don't know.
I had to get rid of that because the cable bill was a little bit higher, so I had to get rid of that. So now I still look at TBS at times, depending upon what it is. And I remember, you know, when WCW had Clash of Champions on there and WCW Saturday night, but I think that would be a good move. And I like the idea they're going to move to Miami for next month because they're saying it was cold, getting cold, you know, in Davis Place.
Oh, yeah.
It's an outdoor venue. And,
53, very cold.
I heard you was talking about that earlier. And,
get the mittens.
And I think that's what it is. Cause I heard something on that from, I know you heard this YouTube channel, Pro Wrestling Unlimited with Tim. Out there in California, that's where I first heard that a couple of days ago. I'm like, yeah, they're going. That's a good idea.
We'll see if that comes to fruition or not. Look, though, I want to just get to the couple of final callers here. But any last comment?
Okay, one last thing.
Sure.
Like you, I'm so happy that the New York Mets were sold from the Wilpon family to somebody else, so they can be a whole lot better off.
I'm
just so glad of that too.
Yeah, as a Mets fan, hey, I hope that's the case. I'm optimistic. We'll see what happens, right?
Yeah,
as
exactly.
With the Mets,
always me too.
The case.
And also one other thing, don't forget about the NFL playoffs this weekend. Three games, two days.
We are all up to, man, you've given us a lot of information to process here. So now I have to try to remember all of this. But you are just full
I'm
of life.
About that.
You are full of energy. I love it.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, but listen.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I want to wish you a happy new year. And hopefully.
Happy new year to you too.
And we will talk again here in this new year.
Okay, whenever I get a chance, I will call again sometime down the line. But I always vote on your polls you put up on Twitter as well, too.
Well, vote on the ones tonight. I got two of them up right now at Solomonster.
Oh, yeah, I will. If I don't do it, I'll probably do it in the next couple of days for it.
Awesome.
You know, ends. Yep, like I always do. Yep.
All right, man. Well, listen, thank you for the call. I appreciate it, and you take care.
Okay, and again, my name is Eric, and I appreciate your you taking my calls, Solomon.
Oh, of course. Yeah, anytime. All right, take care, Eric.
All right. You too.
All right.
Bye-bye.
All right, bye. Man, he's like Mojo Rawley. He's all hyped. There's Eric, full of life, very excited about tonight's show. Caller in the chat says he must be calling from Starbucks. I don't think that's coffee. I think that's just it's life. He's just hopped up on life. You don't have to be hopped up on coffee, or uppers or downers. Gotta love Eric. Tamara Davis. Heading to the nation's capital, do you want something? Yeah, give me a cafe latte. I'll pay you back. Colin Adam, looking forward to the NWA women's title match. Yeah, should be good again. Tay Conti, I think she has breakout star potential this year in AEW, in that women's division. She is very good. I was very surprised when WWE just kind of gave up on her and let her go. I think their loss is going to end up being AEW's gain. And Hashway with the 10 spot, no questions or comments. I just appreciate what you do, and thank you, Hash. Thank you very much. He's one of the good ones. One of the good ones. Why don't we do, let's see, what do we got here? What do we have? You know, wow, I didn't realize how late it's getting. Time flies, man, when you're having fun. Let's do one more. Let's do one more. If I take everybody, we'll be here for another 45 minutes. So let's try 631. See if this works.
Hello. Hey, Solomon, how's it going?
Good.
I'm just going to keep this quick because I know there's people on the line, so I don't know if it's the last call, but I really enjoyed the show tonight. I just finished NXT. I won't talk about it, but I really enjoyed that as well.
Mm-hmm.
I know the fight pit was off because Thatcher is hurt, apparently. So
is that a legit?
Yeah, I heard that.
Is that a legit injury?
Yeah, I heard that earlier today, and they posted something about like a short video explaining it earlier on before the shows happened today.
Well, I saw the video. I saw the video with they were like in the trainer's room, and Regal was kind of breaking the news, and he stormed up. I just assumed that was an angle, though. I mean, do we know if it's a legitimate injury?
I saw like somebody saying that it was, but now that what you're saying, I'm not sure if they didn't want to set everything up like that or anything. But
it's possible.
Who knows?
I'll check it out after. I'll check it out after. My guess, and it's just me taking a guess here. They may have just looked at the card and said, you know what, we don't have to do the match this week. We have the other matches. We have to set the fight pit up. Let's save it for a main event either for next week or the week after. Did they announce a new date for the fight pit or not?
No, they didn't. I'm not going to spoil anything, but Thatcher, they showed the short clip, and Thatcher and Ciampa were nowhere to be found on the show. So.
Okay.
But anyway, I heard what you said earlier about the FTW title and Brian Cage and how you were thinking about making like a big man belt. I agree, and I would say like something like maybe like the Never Open Weight Championship from New Japan. Which, I mean, after the match that we saw at Wrestle Kingdom, with Cobb and Shingo, that was unreal. I think they should shift in that direction because there's already a lot of guys in the TNT title picture. I mean, it's kind of, I associate the TNT title with some of the smaller, like younger guys, like Darby, Ricky, Jungle Boy, MJF, maybe even like Kip Sabian, all them. But I mean, the FTW belt, I could see it being, it doesn't even have to be for big guys either, but I could see it being for some, like giving someone Lance Archer, Eddie Kingston, Will Hobbs, guys like that, something to do for the meantime while they're at it. I don't know if they just don't want to disassociate it with Taz, but I did like that idea, and I thought about it a lot more after the Never Open Weight stuff. Because I know the Never Open Weight is boundless to divisions like in New Japan, so you could be one way junior or heavyweight. So,
yeah, and like you said, that Never Open Weight match was fantastic. So, I think I like that comparison actually.
Yeah, I mean, I was thinking about it a lot more at that match because the Never Open Weight title in New Japan sometimes it's kind of hit or miss. I mean, sometimes it can get as great as it gets when you have guys like Shingo holding it. Sometimes it just like mills around for sometimes, but that's just me because I watch New Japan a lot. But with the FTW title, because there's a lot of guys sitting there that aren't really doing much. Because I remember the period where Lance Archer was like not doing anything for like 2.5 months. Like they didn't really have anything for him. So I don't know what, because Ward, like, I'll make the comparison for Wardlow too, because we see Wardlow. I don't think we see Wardlow as much as we should, to be honest. I think because I the last time he
well once he breaks that on his own
was against Hangman.
Once he breaks that on his own, you'll be seeing him more often. Right now, he's in the background because he's still mostly just a bodyguard type, and he hasn't really broken out yet. So I'm not worried about that. I think in due time we're going to definitely be seeing more of him. And I think that the way they're handling him so far, I think is very good. I think when he breaks out, I still say it's going to be as a babyface and not a heel.
Yeah, I can agree with that. Cause I mean, I saw a tweet from somebody saying like, if Vince McMahon saw Wardlow, he'll be foaming out the mouth. I mean, the guy's got it all. I could see him being like the TNT title type of pitcher and, sooner rather than later, but, I did like the show tonight. I really liked the angle at the end with the Bullet Club, because that's a Biz Cliz reunion. I do like, because I'm like you, I really don't watch Impact anymore. I stopped watching. I watched in like 2013. I watched as a kid, and that it was 2013 is when the Aces and Eights showed up. And I don't know if there was a worse type of
time
to get into watching Impact Wrestling.
Don't remind me. They were wearing their cut. Remember their cut? Everyone had their leather on their cut.
Yeah.
I wish I could cut this segment.
I was a little kid when I was watching that. I actually liked the Aces and Eights. Then I look back on it and be like, what the fuck is wrong with me? But, I did like the angle at the end. I do enjoy the Good Brothers. And because I mostly listen to their podcast, and I don't know if you saw the Two Talk and Shop of Mania pay-per-views they did, which were absolutely fantastic. I mean, that was probably my favorite thing about 2020, besides like out of the realm of wrestling, because it barely was wrestling when you got guys like fucking George North and Paul Lee almost breaking their necks in fucking Gallus's backyard, but. I just love those guys, so I'm really happy to see everybody back together again, and that Gallus and Anderson got a good story after they kind of like mucked themselves up by re-signing with WWE, but that's really what I have to say, and thanks for taking my call.
Yeah, absolutely, and we will be seeing more of the Impact relationship, more matches. It's very early in this, it's the very beginning. I think if people aren't sold on it, give it time, because I think if we get some cool interpromotional matches going on in the next few months, for the fans, it'll be fun. I don't know if it'll help Impact in terms of, driving its profile up too much, because they're still stuck in this spot where nobody really is talking about them. Nobody has access TV. You can watch it on Twitch. Again, I don't know how many people are even really aware of that.
Yep.
But you don't have to be a huge Impact fan, I don't think. I mean, I'm not, and I think you can still enjoy the storyline. It depends what matches we get out of it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think we're in agreement on that.
Yeah. Impact right now is hit or miss, but they got some great talent.
No, absolutely. They got some great talent there. Yes, yeah. even some of the women.
And especially... Yeah, I'm about to say the women's division could probably help out in AEW a lot too, because they have a great. I think second to NXT, they have the best women's division in the world, besides like Stardom in Japan and all that. But I'm
awesome.
Anyway. Thanks for taking my call. My first Royal Rumble pool. I just signed up for that today, and I'm very excited. So
it's always.
I hope I win.
You and the other 1,000+ people. Yeah, I'll bet. Well, listen. Good luck.
Yeah.
And, It's always a good time when it's Rumble Pooler season, where everyone posts memes, beware, the Rumble Poolers are coming. Everyone joins the group to get in on the Rumble. Anyway, all right, listen, I'm going to let you go.
Thanks again. See you,
Master. Yep, thanks for calling in. Have a great year and good luck in the pool. Yeah, if you want to get in on that, by the way, if you have no idea what we're talking about, in the private group on Facebook, look for Solid Monster Sounds Off. We have a private group on Facebook, over 7,000 members. Every year for the last 8 years, this is the 8th year, we're doing the Royal Rumble Pool. And it's hosted by Zach Holker. Zach is awesome. He puts all the work in every year and he hosts. And basically, you get a random number. The numbers won't be issued for a few more weeks. That number corresponds to the entrance in the Royal Rumble match. So, if you get number 28, right? Your guy is whoever comes out number 28. Your woman is whoever comes out number 28. If that person goes on to win the Royal Rumble, you win your pool. You then move on to the final ultimate Royal Rumble pool, and I will randomly select the winner, and then there's prizes. It's a lot of fun. It's a lot of fun. I let them kind of take over the whole thing. Other than picking the winners, I'm very hands-off. And I participate, too. I just can't win any prizes, for obvious reasons. So, if you want to get in on the Rumble pool, just search Solid Monster Sounds Off. You have to be approved. I will let you in. There's a pinned post in the announcement section on top. Find the post, like the post, and you're in. That's it. Doesn't cost you anything. You don't even have to leave a comment. Just hit the like button. Did you like the shows tonight? One final look at the Twitter poll. Very positive result for AEW. And a pretty positive response for NXT. Not as positive. I will be checking out New Year's Evil tomorrow. And I will give my thoughts on that when I hop on the podcast on Sunday. So I have a lot of work to do. I am still hoping to get a video up in the next few days on YouTube, my top 10 matches of 2020. The list is done. I just have to put everything together. So that's coming soon. And then the prediction show. Predictions for 2021 coming up on Sunday, episode 686. So there's a lot of good stuff. Again, if you missed the Wrestle Kingdom reviews, go back. It's audio only, not YouTube, because there's a whole lot of controversy with New Japan content and TV Asahi not liking it when people put stuff on YouTube. You know what? I ain't getting involved. So if you want my New Japan reviews, you can find it in audio format on the feed. Not the fiend. I almost said the fiend. On the feed. One last super chat here. Dry chicken without flavor. Should Jon Moxley one day turn heel in AEW? Look, everybody turns heel at some point. Everybody turns babyface at some point. You don't think MJF will be a babyface one day? Of course he will. Of course he will. Jericho and all of them. So yeah, I think at some point Moxley will turn heel. Not for a long time. But he'll turn heel. Oh, Ufman wants me to do the Mania main event. All right. Let's do that before we leave. We come to our friend Zinfamous HD on Twitter. I love this tweet. I'm going to pick two names. Let's see what match I pick. Totally random. I've come up with some pretty shitty matches. I have a good feeling about this week, though. Well, so much for that. So much for that. You know, I jinxed it. As soon as I said that, I jinxed it. I jinxed it. Tamina. Who will Tamina's opponent be? At WrestleMania, or as Vince McMahon says, at WrestleMania. Adam Hangman Page. Well, you heard it here first, folks. Tamina Snuka, one-on-one with Adam Hangman Page. There's your WrestleMania main event. Boom! That is how you book. That is how you book. That's how you book your promotion into oblivion right there. Holy shit. That is by far the worst match I've booked so far. Tamina and Hangman Page. There's no way anything I've booked up to this point is worse than that. EJ or Easy. I thought it was EJ. Easy does it. I watch your videos often since they helped me through my depression. Thank you, brother. Well, look, that's awesome. I hear from a lot of people who have similar messages, and I say to them, if the show is of help to you, even in some small way, then you know what? It's all worth it, man. There's so much content to go around. I hope there's enough to keep you occupied, and I'm glad you enjoy it. And thank you for being a fan. Thank you for tuning in. Yeah, people don't like that match I just picked. Neither do I. I'm going to get out of here, guys. Thank you for joining me. I hope that you are all safe and doing well, wherever you may be. And we will be back with more Dynamite week two of New Year Smash coming up live next Wednesday. I'm going to be back here with you again. So join me